begin with a story. You may be seated.
During the Vietnam War, a soldier's mother looked out the front window and saw the casualty calls officer park his government car in front of her house, slowly get out, walk solemnly toward her door. Before he knocked or even rang the doorbell, he could hear the screaming and sobbing inside the house. She knew why he was there. She knew that he would only come to pierce her soul, to break her heart, to tell her that her son was dead, had been killed in the war. And that day started the desolation of her very being. Some weeks later, she had another call. This was better news. She was told that her son had been rescued, had been found and rescued, along with several other soldiers, was alive, seemed well, was being checked medically, and then would be heading home to her. And her response was almost deadly, as though from the grave. She would not believe. She refused to accept the good news. She said, "I lost him once. I could not bear to lose him again. I will not believe unless I see him and hold him." I'm thinking of Mary, the mother of our Lord, Mary, who was there at the foot of the cross on that day and saw him die, be taken down lifeless, his dead body laid in her arms, and then moved to the tomb. And she knew that he was dead and gone. 3 days later, this impossible, incredible news that he is alive again. How can this be? And yet there he stands. Peace be with you. I'm thinking of Thomas. Thomas, doubting Thomas, who, like that American mother of the dead soldier, refused to believe unless and until he could see and touch. And this second Sunday of Easter, we celebrate this time every year as Doubting Thomas Sunday, which is most appropriate for me because I, Thomas, also have not seen or touched him either. You heard the gospel, blessed, Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. He says it in St. John's Gospel, where the Greek word is makarioi, and where our English translation, blessed or blessed, does not mean, though you might take it this way, does not mean sanctified and holy. It means happy, happy to be envied. We might say lucky. How fortunate. How fortunate are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. In our mainline seminaries, the professors are not naive, gullible fools. They are scholars and explorers. They are honest and frank men and women, and sometimes shockingly so. And I remember my New Testament professor at Lutheran Theological Seminary, Gettysburg. I remember the day that I was stunned when he told the class as we were studying the miracles of Jesus. He said, "I'm a skeptic. I'm a total skeptic about the literalness of these miracles. I do not believe this, but I have decided and accepted and come to believe this one thing, that Christ is risen, that God raised Jesus from the dead." Alleluia, Christ is risen. Can you at least accept that much? I believe that I can. Christos Anesti, Aletos Anesti, Christ is risen, truly risen. And how blessed, how happy are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. And yet, it's not about believing. As St. James says, even the demons believe and shudder, James 2:19. Faith, your Christian faithing, is not that you give intellectual consent to an outrageous proposition and then return home to hide it bashfully or embarrassed in your closet. Oh, my faith is a very personal, precious, and private thing to me. Baloney, hogwash, skibbalon. That's not faith. That's rubbish. Faith, your faith, is that you proclaim, You proclaim Christ crucified and risen. And as St. Francis of Assisi is reported to have said, preach the gospel. Use words if you must. And of course, he's talking about the second part of our baptismal covenant. Will you? I will with God's help. Your vocation, your calling as a Christian, your true proclamation is not that you stand up on a Sunday morning and repeat a creed that you do not understand. Your faith is that you are becoming Christ. Becoming Christ. You are becoming Christ. Becoming Christ and showing Christ in all that you think and say and do throughout life, in spite of your doubt, in spite of your skepticism, if you truly care enough to give him the benefit of the doubt, your faith is that the rest of us can turn and look at you and see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Heck, man, look at the person sitting next to you. There Jesus is, alive and well. Christ is risen, truly risen. Look at the one next to you. And if that person cannot look back at you and see Jesus, then Jesus is not. What's the purpose of a sermon, a Sunday morning sermon in church? I don't know. I don't know other sermons, but this sermon on the second Sunday of Easter is the voice of a skeptic, Thomas the Doubter, believing and accepting this one thing, that God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that he is alive and well in you or not at all. And I say that very easily and full of joy, because when I look at you, I see Jesus. If you've got a question in life, you've got a dilemma, you've got a problem, you don't know what to do, that's easy. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Look at the person next to you and see what they're doing. If they're a member of this church, I guarantee you, when you look at them, you will see Jesus. You do not have to be divine. You do not have to do anything or be anything. Just let us see Jesus when we look at you. Here are the liturgical words. Through the Paschal mystery, we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death and raised with him to newness of life. I call upon you, therefore, to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism by which we once renounced Satan and all his works and promised to serve God faithfully in his holy Catholic Church. The renewal of baptismal vows in your worship booklet, page 7, as we stand.